Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We saw this from Jackson Dart when he first stepped on the field and they won their first game. And the question was, is could they do it in back-to-back weeks? And then it's amazing. This is a nuanced adjustment, but it is an adjustment. And this is great for this young man. Last week, the second half was brutal. You know, you come out of the locker room, you're playing against the Saints, and all of a sudden it's turnover, 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 turnover. It's not just him. It's other players as well. But he played, overall, he played a good game. He just was a little bit careless. Last night, the carelessness was gone. And, you know, everybody around him picked it up. It's amazing how we're not going to talk about the offensive line last night. Why? Because the quarterback ran for almost 60 yards, and he got himself out of trouble, as opposed to being a statue back there. And he has got energy, he's got life, and he has ignited an entire team. Now, this Cam Scataboo thing is a real thing, too, as well. I don't know if you've seen the social media posts by the New York Giants when they're talking about Cam Scataboo, and they asked the Giant players to do imitations of him before he comes out to practice. And, I mean, everybody from the defensive players to the offensive players, you know, they're all making fun of him, but in a good way, in like a really, really good way. So that energy is palatable on the practice field, is probably in the building over there, and they feel it. And I'm happy for the Giant fans in my life because nobody was texting me last night complaining about what they were watching. And what that means to me is that they were engaged and they really loved what they were seeing. And I will say that the Cordell Flott interception was amazing. Oh, I was happy for him, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Because it was needed. That's the kind of play that you have to have if you want to double up the score on the team that you're playing against. And taking that back and then giving the Giant offense a short field and them scoring, that's exactly what the Giants have been missing for the last, I feel like, 7 or 8, 9 years.
Yeah, it was legitimate good football against a good team. And now you've got back-to-back wins at MetLife Stadium, a place that they barely got a win last year at all in their 100th season. And I'm not saying that Jackson Dart's going straight to the Hall of Fame or in the rafters, but I will say that him being drafted and the similarities that I saw between him and Zach Wilson and coming from Utah and all of that stuff, not really knowing his personality outside of the John Gruden clapping thing, that I was wrong. This guy is not Zach Wilson. This guy is not Daniel Jones. This guy is somebody that has real balls and real guts and real energy. I mean, even when the Giants were playing relatively well in Dable's first year with Daniel Jones, it wasn't this exciting. No, and I remember that a couple years ago. I'm not just saying this because this happened last night. It was like, oh, they're playing well. I mean, this feels like a full change because of that guy. He looks the part. He plays the part. Yes, miserable last week. But the fact that he can come back on a short week against the defending Super Bowl champions and go out and win that game with the rest of the team like he did shows you so much for a rookie quarterback. You got to be thrilled if you're a Giants fan.
You should be thrilled when you wake up this morning, especially like, you know, the Eagles coming in, their offense is off. There's something off with Jalen Hurts. I don't know what it is. His numbers are great, but, you know, he misses a wide open Devonta Smith for a touchdown. But there is something way off, and I'm wondering if Howie Roseman will do something in terms of trading somebody off of that offense just to relieve whatever tension and pressure there is. Because if you remember before the game, Jalen Hurts was talking about how he, Saquon Barkley, and A.J. Brown had a meeting, and they sat down, talked about the problems with the offense. And then last night after the game, A.J. Brown goes, I don't remember any meeting. And I'm like, oh, God.
here we go.
So that's their problem. That's good for them. But that's not the Giants' problem. The Giants' situation is completely different. And I think one of the – it's funny now because – There's nothing wrong with Jackson Dart. And it just goes to show you how important he is to Brian Daboll.
Oh,
when was the last time Brian Daboll walked over to the medical tent to see whether or not somebody was ready to come back into a game?
Yeah, never. And I don't think I've ever really seen that from any coach, a guy, you know, popping his head in there and there's probably going to be a fine. But yeah, obviously. And then he's yelling at the team doctor, which he went on to apologize for. He was caught in the moment. I'm sure he wasn't happy with himself in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, he came out and said, look, man, he goes, I want to go for that son of a bitch on fourth down. I got to know if my quarterback's going to be out there.
Exactly, yeah, right.
So this is like the psychology of winning. It's the odorant of champions, winning. And when you see him after the game, if they lose and Jackson Dart doesn't play great or from that point on throws two interceptions or something, there's going to be the accusation that he's forcing the player to go back out on the field and all this other crap.
Mm.
But
they
win. Yeah. Jackson Dart plays great. And now all of a sudden, the press conference after the game, the discussion and the questions to him after the game, people are laughing because they won. And that is the psychology of winning and losing. And he's had a lot of losing to deal with. And after games, he's been pretty matter of fact. And yesterday he was like, look, man, I made a mistake. I love our doctors. And I'm paraphrasing here. This is kind of like the way he went about it. He goes, man, I wanted to go for that ball. Bitch, I'm fourth down. I got to make sure if he's out there.
Yeah.
You know, and that is hilarious to me because that also shows the aggressive nature of Brian Daboll. And he hasn't been able to do that with the guys that he has had. Number one, because the previous guy who's playing great in Indianapolis right now kept getting injured.
Yes.
Right, and then Russell Wilson is a flat tire.
Mm.
Okay, so now you have this young rambunctious kid, and this is in New York here now. Think about some of the young players that we have here, from Cam Schlittler to Nolan McClain to Brandon Sproat. Maybe Brandon will be in that conversation. Hopefully, you think about this Matthew Schaefer for the Islanders. You think about Cam Scataboo, and you think about Jackson Dart. And
on the Jets.
Well, nobody yet.
Yeah.
Nobody yet. But, you know, maybe Armand Membu, but he's an offensive tackle, so you're not really going to know that much about that until they actually get their roster the way they want it. But there are a lot of really good, solid young players and exciting young players that are coming into, you know, the professional sports world here in New York, which it got to make the teams excited.
Yeah,
for the players that they have.
And Cam Scataboo is going and is like a legend in the making for the Giants fan and football fans, because you see a guy like Jackson Dart, he looks the part. He looks like a quarterback. He looks young, but you can see him maturing, and he's tall and he commands presence. You know, you see a guy like on the defense, like a Brian Burns, for example, who's a big, intimidating, zero body fat linebacker. And then you look at Cam Scataboo, and he looks like a kid you're behind in line at Lids at the Smith Haven Mall. You know, like he's the guy in front of you at the drive thru at the Taco Bell in Mastic. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And he plays his ass off. Like, that's all you want to see is some guy who's out there giving every single bit of what he has on every single play. And he's like a regular guy that maybe your son's friends with that you think is nuts. And you're like, oh, are you going out with Cam tonight? Oh, crap. You know, you better be careful. You know, he's just like one of the guys that's in your life, but he's on the Giants and he's changing the culture.
You know, his energy is palatable, too. You can feel it, and you can see how the players, his teammates, react to it, which is great, which is what you want. These are the types of players that you want, you know. I was just thinking about this kid and how you're, you know, I see that 44. What do you think of?
Well, John Riggins,
of course you do, and that's the way he runs. Hopefully he can make it through, like, 5 or 6
years
of
a career. Well, that's the one thing, and I don't want to dwell on those things, but, yeah, I mean, the way he plays, it's dangerous.
He is all in, man.
Right,
and
of course.
I love that. I love that. And he's always played that way.
But that's how he's gotten to the NFL, so you can't take that away from him. So it is a fine line, but you worry about, you know, the longevity of a guy who's playing that balls to the wall, but right now it doesn't matter.
Is that what we want from all of our
athletes? Yes, we do. We do.
To the wall?
Right.
Let it all hang out. Let it go, man.
Yes. But there is, I mean, listen, it's something you think about when you watch him play, but that's the way you want him to play. And then also you want to make sure that Jackson Dart stays healthy, because that's where the energy, he is the sun in which the Giants are revolving around right now.
And I think it also brings out the best in the defense, you know, and it brings out the best in, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau. You know, he may not have a sack or two, but he's made some pretty big tackles last night on Saquon Barkley, who looked like he didn't want any part of that Giant defense.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a couple runs, but really, honestly, anything that was in front of him, he didn't want to lower his head.
Yeah.
And so the Giant defense, I think, took him out of the game, which was great. And I don't know if it was the offense of the Eagles that didn't want to give him the ball. They didn't want to run the ball. They wanted to throw the ball. They wanted to pacify A.J. Brown, which does happen. And that may have been the case. But, you know, the other thing, too, is something that is obviously apparent to all of us who watch these games. So the Giants don't need to do the tush push. They just give it the 44 and let them go.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles do the tush push, and there's always a false start on the tush push. We all see it. We all. And I want to say maybe it was John Jastrzemski last night on social media on X. I think it was him. And he said, you know, this should be a play that should be reviewable. If the referees, the officials cannot see this, then they should be able to review it. Because every time you go back and review it, somebody is moving on the Eagle offensive line other than the football.
The fact.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think it was him, so I want to give him credit for it because I thought it was really smart. But here's the thing. I'm not against the tush push. I am, however, against a false start penalty because that is an advantage to the offense, and maybe that's one of the reasons why. And I guess you'd have to go back and look at every single one of these tush pushes to see whether or not there's always somebody moving before the ball is snapped. Because a lot of times you see, in this case last night, was the right guard kept moving. Like his hands were moving before the ball was even snapped. I mean, that is a penalty.
Yeah, I mean, so it's not cheating to do the tush push as other people have tried to say it is. It is cheating when there's a false start and they get advantage from it. So that's got to be fixed somehow.
That's the thing.
Yeah, so that has to be fixed somehow. It's boring.
I know one thing. If a defender went first, they'd throw the flag.
Oh, of course, yeah, because they'd be able to see that. It's just harder to see it with the formation, with the offensive lineman. It stinks, and it's boring, and you don't want to watch it. No one wants to watch it. I don't want to take away something that works for them that's legal, but they're not doing it legally.
As long as they're doing it legally, I think it's a brilliant, genius play. And, you know, I was thinking, if the Giants wanted to do that, they don't have to do it with Jackson Dart. They could do it with Cam Scataboo under center.
Yeah, right. They could.
They wanted to. I mean, but I don't know.
But they don't need to, like you said.
Right.
You just hand him the ball and he goes. And you mentioned how important Jackson Dart is to Brian Daboll and the whole 10th thing. You could also, I mean, he is like over the top affectionate with Jackson Dart. Like we talked about the playful touching between Travis Hunter and Trevor Lawrence in that commercial.
There's a lot of playful touching.
There's a lot of playful touching with Brian Daboll and Jackson Dart. I mean, this guy, he basically looks at him as the key that will unlock the door to him being the coach here next year.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what he looks like.
I bet you for him, he has recollections of when Josh Allen showed up at Buffalo. Like, he's a little bit reckless. He's got to. Now, listen, he threw two balls last night that were incomplete that showed me that he has got it. And they were both, like, really touch passes right over the defenders.
Yeah.
And it hit Theo Johnson, I think, in the hands in one situation, then hit one in the back of the end zone. I forget who the wide receiver. I don't know who the receiver was. I think it was the other tight end. I think. I'm not sure. But both of those throws were incredible throws. They were both ended up being incomplete, but it hit the Giants receiver's hands. I wouldn't say it was dropped because, you know, the defender gets paid too. You know, I mean, like, and the Giants, he's not throwing it to Justin Jefferson. He's not throwing it to Sam LaPorta.
Well, that's the other thing that's so impressive about this.
Right, he's not throwing it to those guys. He's throwing it to guys who are still trying to find their way in the NFL. But it also goes to show you that when you have an accurate, mobile quarterback and all of a sudden Wandale Robinson's showing up in a lot of plays and he's holding on to the ball and he's making plays. But that's what happens when you have young, youthful energy that doesn't seem to be overly I don't want to overdo this, but last week, in the second half, they were overwhelmed for whatever reason. It happens when you come out of halftime. Sometimes you're a little bit flat. You turn the ball over and things happen and they start cascading down. And that's the momentum swings in these games. They never let the momentum swing in this game. And when they came out in the second half, you know, they didn't turn the ball over. Yeah, they might have had a three and out. They might have punted. But the defense played, and the defense played reasonably well. And then when you have that Cordell Flott interception, he takes it back, 68 yards, whatever it was. I mean, that's winning football at home.
Yeah, and we talk about some of the, you know, the losing mentality of players that have been on these teams for a while and all they know is losing. That's one thing that did not happen last night with the Giants. I mean, they came out and dominated essentially from start to finish, believed in themselves, played better than the Eagles, saw how they were vulnerable, rolled them over because of it. And that right there, whether it's Jackson Dart that's stirring that, or they still believe in Brian Daboll, or it's many reasons combined, I mean, that is impressive to me. Because now I can look at the schedule and some of the tougher games and look at them not differently and be like, you know what, this team's not going to roll over and die in that situation. And maybe this matchup isn't as bad as we thought because we're going to get a certain type of energy and certain type of effort from this team. And that, I mean, that changes the whole season. Now, they should have beaten the Saints last week, and they should be sitting here. You got 4-4, and that Saints team is bad, and they beat the Chargers, and they beat the freaking Eagles at home. But from this point on, if you get more of that, then you got a really, really exciting future ahead. So this is good. This is great. And forgive anybody for maybe going a little bit too over the top, because when you haven't had a taste of something in a very long time and you get a taste of it, sometimes you over-exaggerate. But this one, I don't think that I think you could say and whatever you want about this performance and not be wrong about it from a positive standpoint, because it was that good.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Let's get some of the calls in. Some happy Giants fans, 888-808-1019 for Nikki in Connecticut. What's going on, Nikki?
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say good morning. It's a great Friday for all the Giants fans out there. I am so happy this morning. And to be honest, I'm not a huge Giant.
Can't spell it out, but it's okay. Go for it. Okay. You can continue. Okay. Your 82-year-old father is a huge Giants fan.
Anyway,
and he's really happy.
Absolutely.
Yes, continue.
He's really happy. But are you guys really surprised about Jackson's art?
Of course I'm surprised by it. Nothing ever works out here, Nikki. It never works out with these guys.
But listen, you can't. You gotta have good vibes. You got it. Did you watch him play at Old Miss last year?
Listen,
this guy's got such spirit.
We've gone through this with every single one of these quarterbacks, Nikki, and I'm happy that you're positive about it. I can't be positive about anybody that's a Jet or Giant that comes out of the draft that's at that quarterback position with the slop we have seen. And these guys leave. They're better in other places. So, no, I was not in love with the pick when it happened, and I am happy to say that right now it looks like I'm dead wrong about it, and that is great because we haven't had fun like this with the Giants in a long time.
Well, he's 2-1 in his 3 starts, and he's won 2 home games in front of the fans doing things that fans aren't used to seeing, and that is extending plays, running with the ball, being accurate, being fearless, if not reckless, but being fearless for sure, and that's a big part of, I think, the makeup of a quarterback. You try to find the right guy that has the makeup to be that guy and that loves ball and loves to show up and loves to be the leader. And I think Brian Daboll recognized that. I wonder what the Lane Kiffin, Brian Daboll discussions were about, you know, Jackson Dart. And I think the Giants knew that they had to get somebody out of this draft. And maybe they weren't totally enamored with him for whatever reason, whatever, like, 10% of his personality that maybe they didn't like, I don't know. But whatever it is on the field, he brings it, and Brian Daboll obviously loves every minute of this.
Yeah, I mean, and going back and reevaluating that whole thing, it was it was frustrating to me because they almost had the number one overall pick and they could have selected whoever they wanted. And I'm not saying that any player ahead of Jackson Dart we knew was going to be better than him. But when you have the number one overall pick, what it allows you to do is pick whoever you want because you have the number one overall
sometimes
pick.
Sometimes that's dangerous, though. Sometimes you get caught into a political debate and you feel like the fan base is pushing the owner. The owner's reacting. The owner says something to the coach. He says something to the GM. And maybe Cam Ward will turn out to be a good player. I don't know. But, you know, maybe because the team is not great around him, he's still swimming, it looks like to me. Like, he's really struggling. But maybe that's probably because he started on a bad team. Mm-hmm. They were losing games.
Yeah.
And it got worse. In this case, Jackson Dart started because the older guy started. It didn't work out. Although Russell Wilson played great in Dallas in week two. And Jackson got to see some of the success that you can have and understand the offense a little bit better. And they had no choice but to play him because of the interceptions that Russell threw in game three. So here we are, three games in. So far, so good. And the best part about everything that I saw last night was compared to the second half against the Saints, he cleaned it up. It was great.
Let's go to Joe in Westchester. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, good morning, guys. As far as the being a New Yorker like us, Philadelphia taking it in the on the chin on both coasts last night was really great. But Jackson Dart, I think he's got an innate ability there to sense what's around him and get out of trouble. He reminds me of an early Joe Burrow before, God forbid, injury. He seems like that kind of player. A lot of ability, a lot of talent.
Yeah, I mean, he's running around. He's running around more than Joe Burrow ever has. And Joe Burrow's, I think, a couple inches taller than Jackson Dart as well. But, I mean, I'm not going to say that's a horrible comparison. But it's not. He's not. Joe Burrow's not the first guy that pops into my mind.
But I will say, I see some throws that are reminiscent of Joe Burrow.
Yeah, well, which is great.
And, you know, when he breaks the pocket, rolls to the right, and hits Wandell Robinson right between the 1 and the 7 on the sideline, I'm like, damn. He's got the arm strength and he's got the touch. I mean, it looks good, man. I mean, he looks the part.
And so far he's playing fearless but not reckless. I mean, he did actually with the 5 turnovers. That's a little bit different though.
That's not him. I mean, you know, other guys drop balls on him.
He did have a couple picks, but you know what I mean. But he's not playing scared, but he's not playing stupid. And that is exactly what Brian Daboll is trying to teach him.
Well, he also like what he said after the game against the Saints.
Yeah.
It's on me. I need to be better. I will be better. I'll work at it. And then literally 4 days later, look at what you got.
Al, this is Ned's here, not Ned, but a S on it.
Yeah, I confirmed that a couple times with them.
But it's one person, not two Neds.
It's one person with the plural.
All right, Ned's is calling from upstate New York. What's going on, Ned's?
Hey, Boomer, Geo.
What's up, Ned?
What a beautiful day.
God, Ned, what do you got for us, man?
Don't you think?
Yeah, it is. It's been great so far.
Hey. It's always sunny in Philadelphia. Not today.
There you go, Ned. Let's poop all over them today. We earned
it.
We deserve it.
That's right. I slept so good last night, I don't even know what to say. Playing golf today. I got to go play the lotto. I don't know. I couldn't get any better. It couldn't get any better today. The Flyers lost. The Phillies are done. And the Giants kicked Eagles' butt.
All right. Well, we got to see them in 2 weeks now. So it's just, and I think Jackson Dart kind of reflected that in some of his postgame comments. Like, he tempered down all the enthusiasm, which means the kid can read the room. You know, he's reading the room. He's got kind of like that understanding of what's going on here, which is nice.
I mean, it's great. It's refreshing. It's different.
He didn't put anything out on like Instagram or anything like shutting up Philly fans or any of that stuff. Cam Schlittler did with Lucy Burge, did he?
I
don't think he would do that.
Did not see anything.
Just be careful. Again, his post-game quotes were great. Was spot on, perfect, and man. Maybe the Giants got something here.
Jackson Dart on Instagram. No, I don't see any trolling of Philadelphia or anything like that. So, nope. All right, let's go to Chris and Howell. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, guys, I just want to give a big shout-out to Russell Wilson for really holding it down while Jackson Dart was being attended to.
Listen, it's funny. Yeah. It's funny, Chris. Boomer probably doesn't love the joke because he's got Russell's back a lot of the time. But, yeah, I mean, it was a reminder of what we don't want to see again. But tough spot. Coming in cold, couldn't throw the ball. Luckily, Jackson came back in.
I'll tell you one thing, though. It is... Even like when Russell threw for, you know, over 450 yards against the Cowboys, there just wasn't the flash there. You know what I mean? Like, Russell had this flash when he originally came into the league.
Yeah.
Most of us do, actually, that make it. We actually show something that the previous guy there that was holding down the job either is at the end of his career or they don't like who they signed.
Mm.
And then you get the opportunity and you show something out there and you just ignite the team. And Russell did that in his career for the Seattle Seahawks, and now Jackson Dart's doing that for the Giants.
Let's go to Jimmy in Rockland County, who's now on the fan. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, good morning, boys. How are you?
Good, Jimmy. What's up?
Hey, so, I mean, maybe it's because I'm a miserable Jet fan, but I can't imagine thinking of a better start for any New York quarterback. I mean, when he was going against the Chargers, I was laughing, saying, wow, they could just wait one more week. This guy's going to get killed. The whole Giants staff will get fired after today. Why not just wait one more week? He beats the Chargers and then beats the Eagles. I mean, if you're a Giants fan, you got to be so fired up. And you can't let this kid get hurt. I think he wants to get hurt. I mean, he was punching helmets in the Chargers
game.
No,
he doesn't. He's playing balls to the wall, man. That's what he's playing. That's why you want him to play. And that's who he is as a player. That's why you drafted him.
Has there been a better start for any New York quarterback, though? I mean, three games?
Well, I mean, he's two
of the biggest wins.
He's 2-1, and he had, you know, a rough one down second half in New Orleans.
You know, he debuts. What did he throw for, 111 yards?
Like, White had a good debut.
All right. Well, he threw for 111 yards, I think, against the Chargers. But you could see it. You could just see the plays that he's making, the extending of the plays. And then, you know, they regressed a little bit against New Orleans, and he came back and he cleaned it up and played great last night. It was almost a flawless performance by him. And some of the throws, like I said earlier this morning, that he was making that even weren't completed were great throws, the touch throws. I mean, most of the guys all have the strong arms that can all make that tough throw along the sideline, you know, that 20-yard out pattern. They could throw it down, back shoulder, the whole thing. Almost everybody in the league could do that. But when you see the touch throws over the top of people at the back of the end zone, and he's not like firing it through the end zone, giving his receiver a chance to make a play over his head, and the ball is dropped right in. That's nuance, man. That's something that very few players have.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
How gratifying was watching that football game last night? So many different ways, whether it's Dart, whether it's Scataboo, beating the Eagles, of course, just a dominating performance pretty much from start to finish. Something we have not seen in years. Big Blue is back!
Last night was awesome, and God knows do we need it. You know, as we buried the Yankees and we buried the Mets a couple of weeks ago, the Jets don't even give you a flicker of hope here. You know, last night looked different, Sal. Last night sounded different. Last night really resonated. Jackson Dart, and I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it. Jackson Dart's going to be a superstar if he stays healthy. If they properly provide the weapons, and he's doing this with no receivers right now because we know Neighbors is out. If he has a full O-line and the coaching and all those things that you need to be very successful, Jackson Dart has every single thing that you need to be a superstar. He's got toughness. He's got moxie. The entire locker room follows him. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're from the sticks. I don't care if you're from the city. I remember Tiki always used to say this. There's certain guys who everybody will follow, all right? And he's one of those dudes. And he throws it, and he can move. And last night was a different chapter. It wasn't DeVito beating a bad team or not that the Packers were bad, but you know what I mean. Last night felt real. Last night felt awesome. And last night feels, this is the best part, sustainable.
Yeah, Jackson Dart's an elevator. And it's not just him.
There you go.
It's Cam Scadaboo as well. You could feel the energy. By the way, you could see this coming miles away, right? Now, you could have your philosophies, or we could all have our philosophies about when you'd go to the rookie quarterback. We went over all those different things. But in the preseason, you saw it. It's why a lot of Giant fans wanted Jackson Dart immediately. You could see the energy. You could see the offense. You saw it even in the glimpses when he came in Dallas, the way they were able to move the football. You saw it even in the loss last week to New Orleans, obviously in the win against the Chargers. You could just feel that the offense is different. He's different, even without Malik Neighbors, even with no wide receivers. You know, I told you yesterday, first of all, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, where there's thought of when you go to Dart, how should we go to Dart, whatever it may be. There was always the possibility that this could happen, that immediately everything can change just like that. And so far, for three games, it has. I'm not willing to say he's going to be a Hall of Famer or a superstar, all that stuff yet. I want to focus on the now. And the now is they just beat the snot out of the reigning Super Bowl champions. And the Eagles have their own problems.
Yep.
I don't care. I don't want to hear the excuses. Giants have it too. That was a real football game. That was a real football win. The fact that the Giants have been able to move the football and beat a good Chargers team a couple weeks ago, even in the loss last week, it's why I ignored the result of the loss against New Orleans. And the five turnovers on five consecutive drives, like, that's an aberration. That's not normal. That's not going to happen often. It's a rookie. It's going to happen on occasion with a rookie. He'll make more mistakes as the season goes on. But if you look at the bigger picture, the way they were able to move the football consistently, we haven't seen that from the Giants in a long time. Last night, they did it, and they did it well. They did it in front of their home crowd. You have to feel great, not only for Dart and for Scadaboo and even for Dable, Mr. Mara as well, getting the game ball afterward. Like, that gives you goosebumps thinking about it.
Yep.
But BT, it felt finally, like, big blue football is back.
Think about some of these games that we've watched. I mean, Dallas rolling in a couple of years ago, 40-0 Dallas.
Yep.
I mean, it really does feel like it's changing, and there's so much more to go. I understand. We all understand this, but, you know, there's things that we overreact, and I've done this, like, with the Jets. Like, the Jets, have even going back to Zach, the Jets like, a low-scoring, ugly game. Oh, here we go. No, this is different. This just looked different. Think about all these, the game, like, the Giants couldn't win at home. The Giants couldn't beat good teams. The Giants couldn't even score touchdowns.
Yeah.
Three straight opening drives. 3 weeks in a row against two really good teams, right? And one on the road in a tough venue in the Saints, even though they lost. Three straight games, three straight opening drive touchdowns. The last time that happened was either 2008 or 2009. So it has been a long time. The head coach is revitalized. And let's say this about them, as much as this is about Dark and Scatterboo as well. You know, again, he's going to have to win some games and keep this train moving. But Daboll is basically saying, without saying it, screw you. I put my neck out there. I wanted to draft this kid, my general manager, because there was some, not discord. I don't want to, you know, create false drama. But the story was they weren't necessarily aligned. Daboll wanted him, and maybe Shane wanted somebody else. Shane said, all right, you want this guy? I'm going to give you this guy. Go get him, and now show us what you can do with him. And now we're starting to see that when Daboll has a quarterback, Daboll's offense looks a little different.
We've talked about this so many times about where the Giants went wrong as an organization. And one questionable decision, a bad decision, led to another bad decision, led to another bad decision. Well, maybe this can go back. And again, it's still very early on here in the turnaround, but obviously you saw it last night. Like you said, it just wasn't a fluke back into a win or hold on and win a game. This was different. The defense dominated as well. Like, it wasn't just about Jackson Dart showing flashes. This was a dominant performance that changed. And it's been 3 weeks in a row where you could see the offense welcoming to the, like, the offense finally has been brought to the NFL. Thank goodness. Finally, they can move the football up and down the field and score some touchdowns. So we're happy for that. So it's not just 1 week or an aberration, but maybe the decision last year, the difficult decision, in lieu of what fans were saying and what media members were saying and the way that it felt, Mr. Mara sticking with Shane and Daboll, letting them draft their own guy, and having them go at it. And now this is the reward from taking that risk where they got their guy, and even though it started out slow this year, they made the decision to go to their rookie, and immediately you've seen a difference for 3 weeks, a significant turnaround. To your point, BT, and we're talking about this, like, I would not break up Dable and Dart. Now we got to see what happens the rest of the way and see how it plays out, but they may have finally found the proper combination to get this team out of the abyss that they've been in for the better part of a decade.
I feel so good for Giant fans. Again, there's been a couple of little flickers and a couple of wins, not many, but a couple where, you know, yeah, you take the win, but there's nothing galvanizing about it. This is now, even with the Saints loss, back-to-back-to-back weeks of like sticking a football needle in your arm and just getting pumped up to the moon. I mean, I wish I was a Giants fan. Like, I wish I was on this ride, this early wave, this juice, this energy. Now, you talk about Mara, right? This is an important part. And again, really happy for him with the game ball, and God bless him, and hopefully he's going to be okay, and he will be, okay?
We didn't really talk about it because it came on after we were off the air, but obviously our thoughts and prayers with Mara and his family and all that.
Proud family, proud franchise, good man, even though they've been, you know, on rough ground for a while. He's a good man, right? And we're rooting for him, we're praying for him. But the for him to stick with his convictions, like, think about this. That's the toughest thing to do in a city like this. Everybody's got an opinion. Yeah. Everybody's got a phone. Everybody's got X. Everybody's got IG. Everybody's
got
the phone number. Yeah, everyone. Not everybody has a plane, but everybody can find a plane. Everybody's got a guy who knows a guy who could get you the plane. Everybody's got access to 888-808-1019, BT and Sal, Boomer, Geo, Evan and Teak, anybody that's a Keith, C-Mac, anybody that's on the air, Hoff on the weekends. You can call and scream, and you did, and rightfully so, about the mess, the broken, fractured disgrace that the Giants had become. And Mara ignored that. And he said, you know, for whatever reason, I'm giving it one more shot. And so far, he's being rewarded, and it's awesome. Last night was a blast for the Giants.
And before we get to the calls here, 888-808-1019. I'm not going to say that they're going to be a playoff team or any of that. I don't even really care about that at this particular moment. I think the most important thing is getting this team back on track, having them be respectable and all those different things, finding the quarterback, which you've seen here. But if you beat the Chargers, who are one of the best teams in the AFC, and you beat the Eagles, who are the reigning Super Bowl champs and one of the best teams in the NFC, that means that you can compete with anybody on any given Sunday. Mm-hmm. And even when the Giants were last good in Dable's first year getting to the postseason, they couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. They did that with smoke and mirrors.
One division win. They were, 1-4-1 or something like that? Yeah.
I forget the exact
base. They tied the Commanders. They had one win.
Started out 7-2 or whatever it was, finished the season weekly, won the playoff road game, which people will say, okay, well, this is the best win since then. I think this is even better because I think it's more legitimate and there's more reason to believe that this is more sustainable than it was the way that they did it back then. Obviously, a playoff win is more gratifying, but what this win means against the Eagles, not only division team that you hate, the Super Bowl champ, and you pasted them at home with young Jackson Dart in year one, throwing Scatterboo, throwing the defense. I think this is the biggest win that they've had, even predating that Vikings playoff win, and real reason to believe that maybe they can do some damage this year.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And one more thing for Mike, talk about the schedule, right? Think about how we looked at the Giants schedule before the season. And we're like, man, and remember, I used the word bullish. I was bullish on the Giants and the Jets. Of course, the Jets are horrible, and the Giants are starting to, you know, regenerate here. I thought both teams had a chance to be better and be interesting. But even when I was saying that, I'm looking at the schedule, I'm saying, man, how are they going to win some of these games? The Giants, how are they going to win some of these games? We're at least at a point now, to your point about the now fallibility of the Eagles and obviously beating the Chargers. You can't look at the schedule and say the Giants have no chance in that game. That is now out the window at the very least. And again, we want to stay in our lane. I want to get nuts. Not about the playoffs yet. But at least you can begin to kind of reset what you think that they can do. And oh yeah, by the way, the next game that the Giants play, Denver will be in London. And after they stomp and beat the hell out of the Jets, I was cursed, beat the hell out
of the
Jets.
That's in London too? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. But the Jets were in London this week. So
I knew.
Yeah, but they're playing the Broncos.
No, I thought that game in London, I thought the Giants are in Denver. No?
No. Think about it. So the Jets are
saying Denver going from London back. Yeah.
And the Giants have extra rest, Sal. After Denver beats the Jets, the Giants will be chilling. And then the Broncos did not take their bye after the London trip. So you might even get a tired Broncos team the next time the Giants play. So season's on.
Yeah, it's those games to me, like at Denver, at Philly, not going to be easy.
No, I'm not saying it'll be easy.
Right. But either way, Giants are back in business. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Patrick starts us off in Melville. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Pat.
Hey, Hey guys, how you doing? It's so amazing to call actual a Giant win because these are so far and few between, and the energy that Scatterboo and Dart provide is definitely real. And the great part about it is I'm so glad that Dable actually went to the quarterback because you could obviously just see the way he lifts the team. And the good thing about it is he's the alpha dog in the lineup, and that's the best thing about it because I think when you have I didn't want Neighbors to get hurt, but when Neighbors comes back, he's gonna have to like answer the Jackson Dart, and I think everything goes through, and I think every team that's successful, the quarterback is the alpha dog, and I think that the Giants having Dart doing that, I think it's a great start.
Can I tell you one of my favorite things last night? Thank you for the call, Patrick. And there was a lot, like the energy, the dancing, the celebration, Scatterboo and his runs, Dart and his toughness. I couldn't help but think, okay, well, what does this kid do that Daniel Jones doesn't, right? We know Daniel Jones having success in Indianapolis, and not about him anymore, it's about Jackson Dart, but just comparing the young players and why one would have success and why one wouldn't. When Theo Johnson failed to look up at the ball on a route, now that's Jackson Dart's best friend, that's what everybody's saying, Dart's best friend is Theo Johnson. Right away, Dart was giving him, like, you got to look. Pointing to his eyes, like, you got to look back. You can't just run the route and have your head down.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something, while Daniel Jones was tough and I think his teammates loved him, I don't think he had it to call out his teammates. You're talking about a 22-year-old rookie who will call out his teammates in that particular case. I think he'll call out anybody if need be, himself included. Mm-hmm. He stood up there after the three turnovers in the Saints loss and said, I need to be better. That's important. But when you're able to just call out a teammate if he doesn't run the right route or is not looking up, I think that's a huge thing. He's not afraid to be the leader and hold guys accountable. That is a huge part of why I think Jackson Dart has been successful.
I totally agree. And that's something that's, you know, really elusive for a lot of young kids. And not to mention he's doing this in New York with, you know, a million cameras in his face from the second that he got here, you know, because he was kind of viewed as a bit of a savior, not like a first overall pick like a Peyton or a John Elway savior, but there was great, you know, for other teams, but they were great, or Eli, but there was great intrigue because, you know, even if you didn't watch Ole Miss play every Saturday, you just saw this juice, this athlete, this moxie. But to me, he made two throws last night. We all know he could run. Two throws that didn't even go down as receptions, both in the end zone. One, I believe, was a flag, and Theo dropped one. And
Jalen Hyatt stinks.
Yeah, I hear you. But there were two plays where he dropped it, like, on the move, over a safety in a corner. The throw, it wasn't good. It was perfect. So I look at Jackson Dart and I say, there's nothing that he can't do at a very high level.
Yeah, my biggest concern with him, and I'm sure everybody's in the same boat, just staying healthy. Like, I don't want to say he's reckless, but he's got that Josh Allen.
He's a little reckless.
Yeah, okay, but he's doing it for a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's smart. I think he'll get smarter. Remember, he reminds me a little bit of Josh Allen. Not the exact size, but Josh Allen was like that in the beginning of his career. He was reckless, not only running, but fumbling the football. Like, maybe there's a little bit of that in Dart right now that can be taught. And he's 22. He's a rookie. He started three games. Like, there's a long way to go before he becomes a complete, polished NFL quarterback. But all the signs are there. So, anyway, my biggest concern is just his ability to stay healthy because you're always one hit away. Yep. Knock on wood. You know, it happened last night. He's got to come off the field. Dable's going nuts.
Dable's like, get him in.
Yeah, I'm thinking,
get him in.
I said out loud, and I'm sitting there by myself watching going, oh, no. That's the last thing we want to see. Outside of that, I think you have to be beyond thrilled about Jackson Dart.
Think about, no doubt, think about personality traits, right, and with your children. And if your child's quiet, it's kind of hard to rev them up. If they're not naturally funny or that disposition to kind of talk in front of a room and kind of command the room, probably not going to be that as they get older. The one thing that I always say with young athletes, I'd much rather tame them, like, hey, listen, let's bring it in a little bit then. Come on, wake up, play hard, let's go. What are you doing? Come on. So I'll take the energy of Dart and the recklessness and what appears to be a little cavalier in certain spots. He's going to learn the speed of the game more. He's going to know physically what he can get away with. That will change. But give me that young buck running out of the stable, running wild. He'll figure the rest out.
Justin's calling from Phoenix, Arizona. What's up, Justin?
BT, Sal, good morning, guys. Two quick comments, and I'll let you guys go. Sal, I'm with you 110%. It is so nice to be able to go week to week. I go to work and not feel like a total loser. I get to actually go to work with some hope. I get to go to work with some excitement and like not feel like that guy that's getting ridiculed for being the team with the dumpster fire as an organization. And I can't tell you how good today feels going to work on this beautiful Friday morning out here in the desert. And number two, really quick, guys. I just want you to know, I'm 37 years old. My grandparents raised me. My grandfather raised me on Mike and the Mad Dog. It was how we bonded. It was how we socialized. I'm, like I said, I'm 37. I have a son. We, since the summer of 2023, I get to kind of go through that same process with you and BT, Sal. And I just want to thank you guys. And I just feel really grateful to be able to be living in a world where I got BT and Sal on a Monday to Friday. Go Big Blue. We'll talk to you guys soon.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much. That is very nice.
It's not about us, but it just to hear that, it's a little piece, man. It's phenomenal to hear that. And by the way, you do it on the Free Odyssey app. He's not even on the West Coast.
I know. It's 7:20 in the morning.
He's locked in to BT and Sal, 7:17 out in Arizona. Giants are humming. He's awake, Sal.
I know you feel the same. That is the greatest compliment that anybody can say.
No question.
We know Mike and the Mad Dog set the standard. They're the greatest ever, but hearing that makes us feel good, obviously, so we appreciate that. But, yeah, you should be back and excited about your Giants. That's the point. When I say Big Blue's back, doesn't mean that they're going to go win the Super Bowl or dominate Denver next week or beat the Eagles again. By the way, they might beat the Eagles again. I'm not so sure about Denver. But it means that we're back in the NFL. We're playing. We've got games on Sunday now that matter, that you can win. Good God, there are steps along the process that you just wanted to get to. First, it was, can they actually score a touchdown? Check. They did that. Jackson Dart, okay, they could score some touchdowns. Actually, they did it with Russell Wilson a little bit in week two, but either way. And then, get some wins. Okay, check. Is it sustainable? Check. So the Giants are back in play here as far as being a real football team in the National Football League, a league filled with parity. The Giants just showed you if they could beat the Super Bowl champs, they could beat anybody.
I couldn't agree more. We did our power rankings yesterday. I still had Philly in the top two. Think about that. Philly was in my top two. And, I don't think they were in your top two. Oh, yeah, that's right. You dropped them out for the first time.
Remember, because I thought that they were going the wrong way.
No, you actually thought the Giants had a really good chance. Good job on that. I didn't really think that would happen. And I'll gladly take the L on that to talk about something happy for once with football. But there's generally three stages of a fan's emotional hope meter, if you will. There's no hope. Which is where I am as a Jet fan. Right. No hope. And we're Giant fans, quite frankly, been for a long time. Then there's that little ray of sunshine, and you take it, but it doesn't really feel real. And that would be, no disrespect, Tommy DeVito. Hey, won a couple of games, local kid, tough, scrappy, but you knew, maybe Louie didn't know this, but most other people knew that there was a ceiling for Tommy DeVito, as much as we respected him, right? Then there's last night, where you don't have to convince yourself. There's no mental gymnastics. Well, if he could do this, and if he learns how to do that, and Jackson Dart's a stud, period. Now it's up to the Giants to keep him, keep him on track and to get the right pieces around him. Absolute certified stud.
It's similar to what Jaden Daniels did with Washington. We've been talking about this. Well, we need to tap into one of our teams. Well, here it is. By the way, it is not just him. Obviously, we've got 4 hours to talk about it. We'll get into the picks and all that stuff later on as well. And Nick Costos, big Giant fan himself, he'll be on. Curious what Nick has to say about this, so he'll come on later on. Scataboo, the defense, Burns has had a big year. Abdul Carter, Cave, there are pieces here. There's reason to have legitimate belief other than, it could also be, we have the quarterback, but now we need a lot of other stuff. The Giants showed last night, maybe they have finally now arrived with Brian Daboll and the Jackson Dart combination. The fact that we haven't had a win like this to discuss in years from either of our football teams, that just makes it so much fun all the time. And then you get painted as whether it's the fans, whether it's us, you're so negative. Give us something to talk about positive. We'll be into it. And they finally did.
I don't think people really understand this, or if they do, I don't know that they always believe this. But trust me, it's more enjoyable to us to get on the air and talk about good stuff. Now, maybe the clicks and the numbers might reflect something different, because obviously negativity sells. But to sit down and watch a 22-year-old kid who now has an immense world of potential and possibilities? That's what it's all about. How jaded have we gotten, man?
Andrew's calling from Bay Ridge. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's up, guys? So before I get to the Giants, it's really full circle with you guys as far as watching something on TV and thinking about what you're going to say in the morning, in the afternoon. It's like bringing me right back to when I went with Mike and Chris. So you guys are the best, and I love it.
Well, we appreciate that very much.
As far as the Giants go, one thing I'm concerned with, and I want to see if you guys are concerned with it, is Jackson Dart being, obviously he's awesome mobile, but if he could risk injury. I know he's a thicker type of guy. He's not, frail or anything, so that's great. But I do worry about that. But he looked so good. He was like stepping up. It was looked like he was like feeling the pressure and getting out of the way, which
yes.
I'm not an X's and O
yes.
guy, but
yes.
that looked apparent.
Yep.
And then lastly, I just want to say, I do not remember the last time I watched the Giants have a victory formation and take a knee. And that was just like unbelievable.
Man, that's awesome.
Great, great, great game.
Great call. Thanks for the kind words. You know that. Awesome, dude. All right. So his pocket awareness is really good. There's a big difference between being quick and being fast from point A to point B and getting the edge and being able to run and put and being willing to put your head down. It's something different when you can feel multiple things in a small quarter, extend the pocket, know when to flush and know when to stick. And for a kid, he's got that.
Yeah, well, also, how about the ability to just remain calm, not have the happy feet, not be looking to get rid of the ball, get out of dodge because he's afraid of getting hit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where the confidence makes such a huge deal. Now, he's got the legs, so he's got the skill set to go along with it, which is just, it is one of the most refreshing things. I always reference this because I grew up, you know, a Falcons fan, so I would watch Michael Vick do it. And at the time, there was nobody better than Vick. The most dangerous thing to me always for a running quarterback is the ability on a broken down pass play on third down specifically to just take off. And Dart has the ability on any given play to where if it's not there down the field, tuck it and run with it. Escape the pocket. Move. Find it. Buy yourself extra time. Find an open guy. Like, it is, there are so many assets to having a quarterback that can move. And we haven't seen that with the Giants because Daniel Jones could run, not like this. He wasn't fast. He wasn't as mobile as quick.
He actually was really fast, but he wasn't
quick.
He
wasn't quick. Jackson Dart is quick. Daniel Jones was not.
Big difference.
Obviously, Eli Manning could move. Yeah, there is a big
difference. Eli could move an inch.
Okay, fair enough, but it was successful for him. But now the way that the game has changed, you need a quarterback to be mobile like that, and Dart is very quick. So Jones, the more physical runner, and maybe he could be fast pound for pound. You want to just go down the field, but Dart is elusive. He's quick, extending those plays, unafraid. He'll hang in there. He'll take a tough hit. He'll lower his head and take a tough hit as he's running down the field. So he's got all those attributes that can make an offense so much more successful and certainly enjoyable to watch.
Think about the stress that he's going to put on defenses now. All this stuff is becoming on film. And think about how we talk about baseball and putting that stress on defenders, right? And how it, you know, has hurt the Yankees in the playoffs, you know, last couple of years, whatever. But that applies to every sport. You know, whether it's a three-point shooting team or a fast break team or a football team that's got a quarterback that could break you down. Like, when you've got, even if you don't have great receivers, when you've got multiple guys and tight ends and even, you know, running backs out of the backfield, moving around and extending a play and the defense has no idea where you're going, that's when you wind up getting those 40 and 50-yard gash plays that we never see the Jets or the Giants really or not get enough. And the other thing that he does really well, in addition to extending the pocket and the play, is that his feet don't have to be set to throw a good ball. And that's you can't teach that.
Victor calling from Coney Island. What's up, Vic?
Vic!
Hey, BT and Sal, my brothers, God bless you guys. Always a pleasure to listen to you guys.
Thanks, Vic.
I'm so excited about the Giants. I mean, this kid is for real. I like his game. I like what he brings to the team. You know, he's not afraid to take a hit. And, you know, it's just finally feels good to watch a Giant game. And, you know, I'm watching this game and I'm like, when are they going to collapse? When are they going to collapse? When are they going to collapse? And just before I let you guys go, two things I'm concerned about. You got, and I agree with you guys. It's not about the numbers this year. It's not about making the playoffs. Just let this kid develop. And my main concern is, let's cut down on the stupid penalties. And these receivers, they got to catch the ball.
Anything else, Victor, that you want there? I mean, come on, enjoy the win. They're not a perfect team.
I mean, listen, Big Blue on two.
There
I love
go.
It. I've seen all four Super Bowls. I'm finally excited. I mean, but this kid is for real. And I'm not going to 110, but I'm going to 99, brother.
Yeah.
99. Every game I think is winnable. But let the kid develop. Let's stay with what we got. Even if we don't make the playoffs, I'm not looking for that.
There you go. No,
but I finally feel we got a quarterback.
Yeah, well, you got
God
a team.
God bless you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Victor. God bless you. You got a quarterback. You got a team. It's not just the quarterback. How about Brian Burns in the season that he's having?
He's been terrific, man.
How about Cam Scadaboo? How about the offensive line?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. There are pieces here. Again, I'm not going nuts and saying playoff team. it's, you know, week six and they're 2-4.
No.
I'm just excited that we finally have a team to watch and get behind. And hopefully this continues and they win more than they lose. And maybe at the end they're battling for a wild card spot in the final couple of weeks of the season. But if not, it's not going to be about, whoa, fire Shane and Daboll. It's not going to be about, well, draft a quarterback. It's going to be, okay, now how do we build on what Jackson Dart and Daboll did and Scadabra did this year to become legitimate threats to go get in the playoffs and maybe win a Super Bowl next year?
Yeah, listen, when people defended, and I don't think there were many, although it wasn't necessarily even like the defense of Shane or the defense of Daboll. They were a little different, yeah. Right? But usually the defense was rooted in, come on, we can't keep firing guys every couple of years.
Yes.
We need continuity.
Yes.
But nobody was telling me what they were doing well.
Right.
They were saying what I just said. Now, again, if this continues, and with realistic expectations, you know, I'm not going to go do your superstar in one night, even though I tweeted that, I think he will be eventually, but like just incremental progress, you know, inch by inch, now we could at least point to and say, look at how they identified this young man, traded up to get him. The general manager acquiesced a little bit to the head coach. The head coach finally has his guy like he had his guy Josh Allen up in Buffalo. And now there's something tangible where we can point to with the Giants.
But it is important to say that keeping continuity can also work. The owner gets credit for not just reacting to the fan base or the media and again creating the turnover, mm-hmm. and then we restart the whole thing. So there are elements to where, hey, just ride this out. If you believe truly that these are your guys, I'll say the same thing with Aaron Glenn. If you believe truly that that's your guy, no matter how bad it may look at times, you got to get through the thick of the storm. It could take a year. It could take two or three, maybe four. You got to be able to ride it out if you have conviction that you made the right hire.
And that cloud and that storm has gotten much more dangerous over the years. Like if this was 1979 or 1983 or even into the early 90s, just don't read the newspapers. You're good. That's it. You can kind of avoid.
Well, now it's social media.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, and it's not that, you know, although for some, unfortunately, like there's a lot of mental health aspects with social media in a very bad way. But even if owners or GMs or whatever were able to kind of, you know, not let it affect them that deeply, it still could sway opinion. Because, you know, when you look at your team and your consumers and they're unhappy to that extent, you got to start thinking money. And that's where you get a lack of continuity. I think the one example to the contrary would be, as much as we want continuity, I think there's a lot of us who would say with the Yankees, with Cashman, we're good with that level. Like, there's a point where continuity is not the right way.
No. I mean, obviously, each situation is different, but you just can't react every time that black cloud comes over. You're in the midst of the storm. You can't just react and keep changing things. Sometimes you got to ride it through, and those decisions, the ones you made to keep these guys, may prove out to be the right ones. And we're still early on here. It's just three weeks. It's three weeks of evaluating Daboll and Dart, but obviously 2 out of 3 wins against very good football teams as well. BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls. We come back, reset. Down with the King topic of the day. Of course, it is the Giants. We'll have Nick Costos on next hour. Get you set for week 6 in the NFL. We'll do Perfect Parlay pick segment later on. A lot going on here on this Friday. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Is that 1 minute you're depressed, angry, I want everybody fired, and the next minute it's one of the happiest nights you've had in years. From last week, the tease against the Saints, from even 24 hours ago, the anger over the Yankees, to whipping that eagle ass all over MetLife Stadium. What a difference a few hours makes. Welcome to Evan and Tiki. We got a lot to cover. Barber, what's on your mind today?
I can't help but think about the missed opportunities of this Giants team. They could easily be 3-3.
That's what you're thinking?
Or 4-2, yes.
Really?
Because that's what I got out of the... Look, it's the Jackson Dart era. It started after week 3. Jackson Dart has played now 3 games. He's 2-1. And if it wasn't for all those mistakes against the Saints, they easily could be 3-3, and who knows what's happening going forward. Now, look, they're still not likely making the postseason, but for the first time, I think in a long time, it felt like hope in the future was real. Not something that we kind of hoped would come around, but it was real. And it's because they have two guys And, well, it's actually more than two guys, but it's two that we talk about, Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo, who are just balls of energy and positivity. Brian Burns on the defensive side, we'll get to them in a second, might be heading towards a Defensive Player of the Year award if he keeps playing the way that he's playing, because he's been unbelievable. But I was listening to the post-game press conference, and, you know, Brian Daboll has this way of talking to media after he has success, and he's, I put this in quotes, proven right about either a play or a player, in this case, Jackson Dart. And it's like this F you for doubting me type of thing. Now, the reality is that he deserves some of the criticism that he was getting and the media ire that was coming his way. But I also then listen to Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo, their post games, it was exactly like Brian Daboll.
Interesting.
It's like they're taking on his personality of damn the doubters.
Right.
Forget trying to lump us in with the institutional failures of this organization, because that's not us.
It really isn't them.
You can say, and I kept hearing this, and I forgot who was asking this question, but he kept saying, do you think that, you know, some of the success, it's naive for these young guys not to understand, you know, the history here? And I'm like, I got what the question was trying to get at, but naive is the wrong word, because naive portends that there's something happening and you're not aware of it.
Right, right.
Right? Whereas the Jackson Dart, Cam Scataboos of this team, the Brian Burnses, who've only been here if this is his second year, like, why are they labeled with the crap that existed before them? And it feels like we keep wanting to do that, when the reality is this is a completely different team.
Right.
It's a completely different energy that you feel. And I don't know, it felt refreshing that they're all pushing back on it. Like, stop asking me about teams that I had nothing to do with.
Right, right.
Stop asking me about teams that were playing in this stadium and not winning for years when I was 17 years old.
Right.
Right? Just like, shut the hell up. How about you celebrate what we just did or what we're going to do going forward, instead of trying to bring this weight, this negative history back forward to 2025? And, you know, just, it made me feel good about the attitude, this like screw you attitude of this team, because they know that they have a ton of doubters and they know people kind of think and expect them to fail, and they're going to succeed anyways.
It's a double-edged sword, because I think when you join a franchise, you take their baggage with you.
Of course.
Even if you had absolutely nothing to do
right.
with the baggage.
Right.
Right. Jackson Dart has nothing to do with what happened last year, the year before that, the year before that. They look at Saquon Barkley as another player.
Exactly.
It's not like they're even facing a former teammate. But what can change negativity is just a different vibe.
Right.
And I say this as an IFO watching last night and this morning. More on that later. There's a vibe change.
No doubt.
There is an absolute vibe change. And one of the most obvious moments, small moment, could have been bigger, but obvious moment of the vibe change that I witnessed at MetLife Stadium last night was the 30 seconds Russell Wilson came in. Because it was almost like the giant negative cloud came back. And it was there, and Russ threw an incompletion on third down, and it was like
a particularly ugly throw.
It was horrible. And you hear the boos, and it's like, oh my God, the cloud is back. And then, with the beautiful blonde hair glistening in the MetLife lights, Jackson Dart came back a possession later, and it was like, wow, all is right with the world. But what's really impressive about what they did last night is it wasn't just the new energy of Jackson Dart. It's not just the new energy of Cam Scataboo. Like, defensively, and we've seen signs of it this year. It hasn't been complete, but we've seen signs of what they're capable of.
Yeah.
And there is a new hope. Like, a win like that is a new hope kind of win. You beat a division rival, a team you never beat, a team that, despite all their issues right now, they're still a Super Bowl favorite. Like, right, let's not minimize who they are despite the issues that they have. That was, to me, I say this as an IFO, a vibe-changing, maybe even franchise-changing kind of win,
yeah,
if you can build on it. Because everything last night at MetLife Stadium felt different and felt unique. And did they take advantage of some lucky breaks? Sure. Jalen Hurts had Devontae Smith wide open on a play that could have changed the game. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you were going to lose. Just means the game would have played out differently. And it's not your problem that Jalen Hurts missed him. Not your problem. But what is your problem is after he misses him, what are you going to do about it? And Cam Scottaboo on 3rd and 1 did something about it. He converted a first down. Jackson Dart did something about it on 3rd and 3. He converted a first down. And then finally, Cam Scottaboo did it again because he scored a touchdown. And so from this game being flipped to an Eagle lead, you're up 2 possessions. So it's not just, hey, they made a mistake. Yay, we're lucky. It's they made a mistake and we made their asses pay.
Right. And that's something that you didn't usually see with this offense. And look, it all starts with the offensive line. We've been saying it for a couple weeks now. Andrew Thomas comes back. It's just a different MO. It's a different calculus when you try to come after them. And there was a play in particular, and I sent it to you guys as I was rewatching a film this morning. It was in the 3rd quarter. Jackson Dart is under center. The Eagles bring 6. They're playing cover 1. The safety is down in the box, so it's like a low cover 1. Safety's trying to lurk and pick something off. Jackson Dart's looking out to his left to little Jordan Humphrey, and he forces the safety to go left. He doesn't like it. He immediately reshuffles his feet, gets the ball, throws this crossing route, the shallow cross to Wandell Robinson. It picks up like 17 yards. They get a first down. And it's like the processing was so fast. Everybody talks about, young quarterbacks. Oh, they struggle processing. They get stuck on their first read. They don't know what to do. He just took a cursory glance. It's like, that's not there. Turned his body to it. Came back. Fired one to Wandell Robinson. I was like, man, this kid is it. He's just different. And the energy that he plays with and the camaraderie that he brings to this team, it just makes you feel like there's a lot to look forward to in the future for this Giants team.
Now, you said something that really surprised me at the beginning of the show. You said, one of the things that was jumping out at you was all the missed opportunities and what this team could be if they had taken advantage of the Saints or taken advantage of their opportunities against Dallas. Here's why. For 2 reasons, from a mental health perspective, you shouldn't think that way.
No, it's inaccessible. You can't go back. You can't change the past.
Number one, you can't change the past.
Right.
And it's bad. Like I said this to Yankee fans yesterday about, boy, if one more game went our way, we would have hosted the division series. I said it to Met fans. If one more game goes our way, we're in the playoffs. You can't think that way. You'll drive yourself nuts. So number one, it ain't healthy to think that way. But here's the second part. Obviously, we all want to see our teams make the playoffs. I will never minimize that.
Right.
But if this is real, what we're witnessing.
Just keep winning.
Just keep winning.
Keep stacking.
Then that's all that matters. And we'll look back at the losses as almost, lessons were learned from that.
I agree with you.
It was the necessity of losing. And if that's where this goes, and I understand the Giant fan on this Friday afternoon, Friday morning, having that enthusiasm, I am never going to be that person to say, shut up, it's only week 6.
Right.
Shut up. Why are you so excited? I get why you're excited. That's the kind of win that I know as a fan, I think to myself, this is going to change everything.
Really, what matters is what it looks like. I've been saying this all season. Even if the Giants were 5-12, it's what it looks like. And that looked really good. And 2 weeks ago against the Chargers at home, that looked really good. Bob Papa joined us on the post game, and he was saying, it's been so many years since the Giants fans, this is just a fan thing, this isn't a team, what construction or anything like that, a performance. The fans can come to Giants Stadium and leave ecstatic.
Yes. And how often does that happen?
It hasn't happened in a decade.
No, I know.
Consistently. And when you could, it's arguable because both of the teams I'm going to talk about have lost 2 games. But 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, the Los Angeles Chargers were the best team in the AFC. This is according to everybody, pundits, anyone who wanted to calculate or opine about the best team in the AFC. It was the Chargers. The Giants beat them. Oh, 2 weeks ago, the Philadelphia Eagles were the best team in the NFC. How you wanted to calculate it or opine about it? That people, the Eagles, the defending champions, are the best team in the NFC. The Giants beat them. And so there is 2 victories at home against 2 of the best teams in all of the NFL. That's encouraging.
Yeah.
And that's something that like tells you this isn't the same old Giants. This team is good. It's just they can't shoot themselves in the foot. They can't lose games. But if they don't do that, they can win a lot of games.
Yeah, we can't ignore that they lost to the Saints, yes, and they lost to Spencer Rattler, and that's on the resume. But just to further your point about the Chargers and the Eagles, I'll also say, at least for 1 week, the better quarterback on the field between Justin Herbert and Jackson Dart was Jackson Dart. Mm-hmm. The better quarterback on the field last night between who was terrible last night,
yeah,
and that's a Philly problem.
Well, I told you this before the game. They are missing Kellen Moore. It is undeniable.
Oh, my God.
And attrition has caught up with them. Lane Johnson's 35 years old. Jordan Mailata, who is a great player, looked vulnerable over and over again. I don't know if he's healthy. Landon Dickinson was out. Like they looked compromise.
And you know what? All that's true, but as the kids like to say, cool story, bro.
Who cares?
Jackson Dart was the better quarterback on the field last night. Now, you mentioned Brian Daboll. You listened to his post-game press conference?
I did.
Oh, did he drop a Freudian slip? Oh, did he drop one? And I don't know how many people noticed this, but I noticed this kind of stuff. Brian Daboll was talking about Jackson Dart. Listen,
this wasn't Freudian.
This was on purpose?
This was intentional.
Okay.
I am positive this was intentional because there was a moment 3 weeks ago where he was getting ladled with this guy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here is the non-Freudian slip. This was all done on purpose by Brian Daboll in the postgame last night.
Glad he's my quarterback. Our quarterback.
My quarterback. I mean, our quarterback. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you think that was a purposeful, I want to remind the world?
Don't you remember 3 weeks ago when he made this decision, or three weeks ago?
My decision.
And the unsaid, which was being said, was that he's getting ladled with this. When this goes south, because Jackson Dart's not ready and the Giants suck and don't win a game, it's on Dabes.
Right.
That wasn't said publicly, but trust me, that was said to people. Okay? People who know and people who want to write it because they have an agenda against this head coach. I'm just telling you that was the case. So that little quote that you just played,
yeah,
was not a slip.
Oh,
that was intentional. I'm reminding you that I made this decision.
So that's badass.
It's badass, right?
Okay.
Look, at the end of the day, Dave is going to be judged by wins and losses. It's not going to be about the development. It's not going to be about, you know, the team is heading in this direction. It is, did you get this team ready to win?
100%.
Because at this point, we know that this team is good. Brian Burns could be Defensive Player of the Year. He is one of the best pass inside rushers that I've seen this year. Abdul Carter did not register a stat yesterday. Did not register a stat, all right? His impact was invaluable, right? This is why stats lie to you.
And the NFL lies him a million times.
He was awesome,
yes,
yesterday. Dexter Lawrence and Kayvon Thibodeau, they're going to get after guys. They finally, Shane Bowen said, you know what, Tay Banks, I know you're a first-round pick, but, bro, you got to sit. Three plays he played yesterday, and Cordell Flott took advantage of his opportunities. Now, he was roasted on that wide-open Devontae Smith play.
Hey.
For some reason, he thought he was playing cover two or whatever it was.
Got away with it.
And it was cover one,
right,
and it was his man that was 20 yards past him.
That's okay.
But, sorry, you missed the pass.
No harm, no foul.
But you're getting guys that are playing at a higher level each and every week. And the unsung hero that nobody wanted to talk about, and I took a good 5 minutes talking about this guy yesterday on the post game because he deserves it. Jamie Gillen is changing the way you kick off in the NFL. And nobody wants to talk about it, but you heard it here first. Jamie Gillen is making it so hard to catch kickoffs. He's a punter, and he kicks this thing sideways.
Right.
So it's not coming at you in that end-over-end fashion and perfectly going into your hands. It's like, oh, dude, what the hell is this ball doing? It's not moving right. Let me, crap, I just fumbled it, and now we're at the 7-yard line. He did it twice.
Yeah, but he also missed the landing zone to start the game. That wasn't good.
Whatever.
it may not have been good if the Eagles took advantage of it.
It's the risk you take.
No, I get you.
To prevent the opponent from starting on the 35-yard line.
No, I get that. And it ended up working.
Because what's going to happen? You kick it out of bounds, you're at the 40?
Right.
What's the difference?
Yeah, it's not.
You kick it in the end zone, you're at the 35. I will take that risk for two shots at the 10.
It's not as big of a difference as it used to be. I'll never forget the Patriot-Panther Super Bowl when what's-his-name kicked a John. Yes. Was it John Carney? Kicked it out of bounds.
Which is 20 yards.
Was a 20-yard difference.
Back then, it was 20 yards.
But what was so
five now.
It really didn't turn out to be that big of a deal, but it's funny to think how this game started. Jamie Gillen is short of the landing zone. It goes to the 40. Like you said, though, not that big of a deal. And then Saquon has two carries for 31 yards.
Yes, and just like last week, what did the defense do? They bent and didn't break.
And from that
field goal, you sorry ass Eagles.
And from that moment on, where was Saquon Barkley? That should have been the chant at the end of the game. Where is Saquon? I'll tell you where he was. He didn't want contact at the end of the game.
No, he was checking Amazon Prime downloads.
Maybe. We'll get to your calls next. 888-808-1019. WFN.
Oh, thank you, Jackson Dart. Oh, thank you, New York Giants. We needed it. Man, did we need that. McMonagle here with you on this football Friday morning, 1:37. I got you till 5. A bonus 20 minutes, 888-808-1019. Fleegs on the other side taking your calls on what is a glorious Friday. Who saw that coming? My goodness. 34-17, the Giants absolutely dominate the Philadelphia Eagles. Jackson Dart looks incredible. We know he could run. And after a 5-turnover performance that I'm hoping we look back on with disgust on somehow how they blew the game to the Saints. We're hoping that it's meaningful, that they continue to win and play well, where that game's going to end up biting them in the ass. That's what we're hoping. Unbelievable performance at MetLife at home, the same building we're flying planes over last year. These two rookies and Cam Scataboo and his 3 touchdowns and Jackson Dart and the way he played in this game, everything about it, everything about how he played, his tenacity. Yes, he's crazy. Yes, he puts his body in bad positions. Yes, he's diving headfirst like a fish on a hook out of water, diving for a first down earlier in the game. Yes, he's going to the tent and nobody seems to want to leave him alone in there. But he comes out and the New York Giants beat the hell out of a team, out of a franchise, out of a player. Let's be honest, we still hung up on the Saquon Barkley crap. A team that has dominated the Giants forever. On primetime, I heard Bob give the stat in the postgame as I was driving in. It's the first time since Tom Coughlin that they've won a Thursday night game. Is that possible? Has it reached those kind of lows? That it's been this long. We knew Daniel Jones was terrible in primetime. We knew how bad this team was. But that Tom Coughlin's the last coach to win a Thursday night game? Not anymore. As this is one of the more surprising, unexpected and we'll get into everything and we'll go over the numbers. You just heard it on the postgame, and I'm not the biggest numbers guy, but there are some that are just astounding, like that one about Tom Coughlin being the last coach to win a Thursday night game. But think about what just happened. The New York Giants, after absolutely giving a game away to the Saints on 5 consecutive turnovers, have a short week going up against an opponent in the Philadelphia Eagles, who are the defending Super Bowl champions, who have beaten the Giants every single time they've played since, again, I love bringing it up, since Ron Dixon ran back the opening kick back in 2000. Like, that's the last time. In 2001, whatever year it was, 2000. That's the last time that the Giants beat the Eagles in any sort of meaningful game. And we'll decide whether this one's meaningful or not. It feels like it today. They're coming off a 3-day rest to face that opponent who's coming off a loss where they blew a lead to the Denver Broncos. And the first 2 plays of the game, as Saquon Barkley takes the field, as the Saquon Barkley documentary is being promoted after, you know, you can watch it after the game on Amazon, he comes out and runs for, I don't know, what was it, 30 yards in 2 plays? on the first two plays of the game, and you're thinking, oh, good grief. Here we go. He's going to have a monster night. He's going to talk about Martin Scorsese and his new documentary. He's going to absolutely break out. He hasn't had a 100-yard rushing game this entire season. Here we go. Season over. And from really that point on, after they only allow a field goal, Jackson Dart goes down the field. Third start, third consecutive game, going right down the field, scoring an opening drive touchdown with whom exactly? I know Carter's out for Philadelphia. I get it. And I understand they lost the cornerback Mitchell along the way and they had to play Adoree Jackson. I don't care. I some injuries to their offensive line. I don't care. The Giants didn't have a wide receiver for this game. We know Neighbors went out last week. You've got Slayton, who was unavailable for this game as well. And Jackson Dart and this offense and Cam Scataboo go right down the field again, get into the end zone on a 20-yard touchdown run from Jackson Dart. They go back down again and score another touchdown. Like, this offense, and I know they end up blowing that lead, and that was pretty much it. They shut the Eagles out in the second half of this game. But if you watch Jackson Dart play, even as they're blowing that lead, even as you still feel like this game is probably going to go the Eagles' way when they're up 13 to 3 and they end up, you know, down 17 to 3 at one point, even there where you figure, okay, here come the Eagles, just the way they played football, just the enthusiasm this kid brings, just the excitement, just the functionality inside the red zone, which, to their credit, they were talking about in the post-game show and in the post-interviews, all the players were like, well, we kind of fixed it last week. We just coughed the ball up. But since Jackson Dart has taken over, the red zone's completely changed. And how they function inside it, the play calling inside it, how they operate, obviously the success rate, it's all changed. But in this game, the way they handled it, no wide receivers, his passing attack was light years better than just a couple of days ago against the Saints. And he's out there with Bo Collins. I mean, he's out there. The biggest, he actually made Jalen Hyatt a part of this game. That might be the greatest trick he ever pulled. A big 30-yard pass to little Jordan Humphrey for a big play. He was dropping dimes left and right. Back end of the end zone drop pass. Middle of the field to Theo Johnson, right in his hands. He showed excellent touch, throwing it over receivers, dropping it in the bucket. Obviously, the late touchdown is set up by a perfect pass for a pass interference in the end zone to Jalen Hyatt. I mean, he was extremely accurate. He is his pocket awareness is through the roof. Like, this is the way he played in this game was astounding. And I know, you know, so much is made about Daniel Jones. I get it. I do get it. And Daniel Jones showed some promise early on. It never felt like this. They never won a game like this. I know they beat the Baltimore Ravens, and I know they beat, you know, the Green Bay Packers in London in that year. But, like, this was special. And you can sense it. You can feel it. And these two rookies, and let me say this, because this is kind of going to be my thought of the show here. And I got a break here because we got a million spots because of the post game. You guys, if you listen, you know how it works after these games. So we're going to have a couple breaks here. But my main thought that I can't stop thinking about is at the end of the game, towards the end of the game, when the broadcast showed John Mara, and obviously they talked about his cancer diagnosis, and we all wish him the best. But just watching him sit there and knowing how important it is for him to have a happy fan base, how much he respects and loves Giant fans and wants to make them proud for whatever mistakes he's made and bad hires he's made and the position of the franchise, you know how desperately he wishes it were different. And he's sitting there and they're showing him on TV, and this is a building that had planes flown above saying fixed a dumpster fire, John Mara, just a year ago. And now there are these two rookies and Cam Scataboo and obviously Jackson Dart that have completely rejuvenated the fandom. And the building's going crazy. We're watching excellent offensive play. We're watching them beat the Philadelphia Eagles by 17 points, putting up, you know, 20 points in the first half. It's also the first time they've scored more than a touchdown in the first half in God knows how long. That was another stat in the postgame. Like, it's been incredible. And as I sit there and we spend so much time trying to figure out or wonder how this coach is going to save his job and whether or not Dable and Shane are going to come back and what would they need to do and how many wins they need to win, I'll tell you this. Watching John Mara sit there and get the energy from that fandom, watching these two rookies that were just drafted change the franchise, watching them win a game they haven't won in forever, watching everything about this game, I'm sorry. This is how he saves his job. That's it right there. That's it right there. That might be enough to bring him back, because if Jackson Dart looks like this, you can't fire his coach. And if they're going to win football games like beating the defending Super Bowl champions on a short week when they're coming off a loss, hello, Shane and Dable. And maybe they've earned it. And maybe they will earn it. There's a lot of football left, obviously. But if Jackson Dart plays like this, and he knows what happened when they changed coaches on Daniel Jones, too good. Too good. Too good! What a great Thursday night. I got a break. We'll get back to it. Obviously, your call's next. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll come right back. Back to your calls, Giant fans. This is an exciting night. There's no other way to put it. Just a fantastic performance from your New York Giants. Turnovers that lead to touchdowns. When the hell does that happen?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.